Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. The message we want to bring you today as we get in the Word of God is a vital, important message. That's why we're going to, just before Thanksgiving, on our Wednesday Bible study, we hope that we can bring you a message concerning how to keep Thanksgiving 365 days a year. Something along that line, just before Turkey Day. Amen. Listen, friend of mine, we're living in a time that we can't just pick and choose neat little appropriate sermons. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. This is no time to try to be appropriate to every little holiday and every little trending thing that comes along and kind of line up everything with that. We need desperately to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us who are living in a very dangerous age, a dangerous time. That's what perilous times mean. In the last day, perilous times shall come. If you're in peril, you are in danger. And we are in perilous times, not just dangerous because of all the murder and all of the chaos and all of the threat of wars and threat of diseases and earthquakes and volcanoes, just like they're waiting to see what's happening in Iceland right now to see if that volcano erupts. We're told there's what would happen if the volcano right in our own United States here in America, out in this beautiful park where Yosemite, if one of those volcanic eruptions occurred that are just under the surface, what it would do to our nation. What happened at Mount St. Helens, it's not all over there. All of these things are legitimate concerns, but the great danger of the last days, be above and beyond earthquakes in diverse places, sea and wave roaring, all of these things is the very, very danger of spiritual deception. Spiritual deception. That's why the message this morning is Shemaiah's warning. That's right, Shemaiah, S-H-E-M-I-A-H, Shemaiah, a prophet of old to Rehoboam and to ancient Israel. We're going to read it from 2 Chronicles 12 and verse 7. Shemaiah's warning and the falling away. This is something that is going to relate to us and we who are living in the last days as Christians. And we need to see the pattern of deceit and defeat that the enemy was able to seduce God's people into because of corrupted leadership. That's very important to remember today. Corrupted leadership. And the falling away that is prophesied, this is not just a prediction, this is prophetically going to happen just before the Antichrist comes on the scene. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That precedes the Antichrist coming on the scene. It will come to its apex in the midst of the tribulation because the Antichrist coming on the scene and being made manifest will begin the great tribulation. Listen, friend of mine, and before the wrath of God is poured out, there's coming of Jesus Christ, not the second coming after the tribulation, the secret coming, so that we who are saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit, are going to be safe from the wrath to come. Oh, it's good to be a Christian. One of the things I'm most thankful for this Thanksgiving is that I know Christ as my Savior. And no matter what is happening in these last days, nevertheless, the Scripture says, the foundation of God standeth sure. Yes, everything is shaking. It'll shake so bad, but there is a place in God that we find rest in Him, peace in the midst of the storm. Psalm 46 says it this way, therefore we will not fear. God is our refuge. God is our strength. And ever, I know it says very, it's ever present in the Hebrew, and ever present, always with us, always there. Hallelujah. An ever present help in the time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea. Oh, friend of mine, this is cataclysmic events. And yet, there is a place in God and in our faith in God and our fellowship with God, our relationship with Him, where we find peace in the midst of these cataclysmic events and these very perilous times. So let's read this. In the Scripture, God's call to authentic victory. Listen carefully. Shemaiah's warning and the falling away. 2 Chronicles 12, beginning with verse 1. Let's read down through verse 5 to begin. And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, you see, and all Israel with him, and all Israel with him. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord, with 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen, and people were without number that came him out of Egypt, the Lubims and the Sakeums and the Ethiopians. And he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah. Now, he could never do that, friend, when they were right with God. Then came Shemaiah, the prophet, unto Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me, therefore I've also left you in the hand of Shishak. In other words, your enemy now is going to have control over you because you wouldn't let me have control over you. You forsook my rule. Now you will be ruled by your enemies. But Shishak also told them a little further on, and we don't have time to read it all. You can read this for your homework if you would like. If you return to the Lord, He will return to you. It's not too late. It's not too late. There is still time to repent and return. And if we return to the Lord, He'll reciprocate. Hallelujah. He will return to us. If we humble ourselves, He will receive us. He will forgive us, and He will restore us. And when He does, no enemy will be able to defeat the righteous man, woman, boy, or girl. Glory be to God. Listen, Shemaiah's warning and the falling away. The falling away. Listen, when Christian shepherds forsake the Word of God, let's get in the New Covenant here, and lead the flock into disobedience and therefore destruction, you know what they are called? They are called false prophets, clouds without rain, spots in our feast, false teachers. In the Old Covenant, God's people asked that the prophets prophesy smooth things. In the New Testament, it said that the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, tell me what I want to hear, not what God is saying in His Word. The door is now wide open for the devil to deceive. The Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last times This is what allows the falling away to occur. Some shall depart from the faith. That begins the falling away. Giving heed, listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is all about false teachers and false doctrine. Listen, dear friend, I want to read you a scripture as we continue forward in this message from Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6 and 7. It said, "My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." You know, when Israel was right with God, the Bible said the land had rest in those days. Jesus in the New Testament says, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul." Let me read this from the Amplified. It said, "My people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have made them turn aside to the seductive places of idolatry on the mountains. They have gone along from one sin to another, from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their own resting place." Where is that resting place? What is this resting place? It is where we humble ourselves before the Lord. We repent of not obeying Him. If there's disobedience and rebellion in their hearts, we come back to the Lord. We come back to the Word of God. We come back to the ways of God. We actually call for the old pathway. And we call for our leaders to say clearly from the Scripture, "This is the way, walk ye in it." We are told in the Old Covenant, cry out and call for the old pathway, because it's the right pathway. It is the path of righteousness, and we should ask to be led in the path of righteousness for His name's sake and for our own security. Praise God. There's a safe place. There's a resting place in the time of trouble. I'm going to read this from a paraphrase. Listen, "My people were lost sheep." Very practical here. "Their shepherds led them astray. They abandoned them in the mountains where they wandered aimless through the hills. They lost track of home. They couldn't remember where they came from. Everyone who met them took advantage of them. Their enemies had no qualms. Fair game. You see, they walked out on God. They abandoned true pasture and the hope of their parents." Oh, friend of mine, listen, there's a progressive movement today that is not progressive at all. It is pulling us away from the Lord. It is pushing us toward this movement away from God that is global around the world. This word here, Rehoboam, forsook. He forsook the Lord and the ways of God. In the Hebrew, it is a very sad word, because it's the word hazav, and it means to depart from, to leave behind, to abandon, to forsake, to apostatize. And that's why we call the falling away of the last days the apostate church. Hazav is a sad, sad word in the Hebrew language, because it denotes a broken relationship. The falling away is kind of like a divorce. A commitment was made. A commitment had been previously kept up until the time that the divorce took place. And it is a broken relationship. And when they broke their part of the covenant, God said, you forsake me. I have no choice but to forsake you. Friend, I'm going to submit to you today that can happen to a lot of people. It can happen to churches and church denominations and organizations. We become established. We strengthen ourselves so everything is going wonderfully well. But if we're not careful, we lose sight of how we got there and who put us there. In the process, we forsake the law of the Lord, the Word of God, the Bible. That's what Rehoboam did. And he took all of Israel with him because they followed him. Rehoboam was King Solomon's son, and King David's grandson. We read in First Kings 12:4 that when Rehoboam was become king, that the people came to him and said, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. And the people were tired of the grueling work that Solomon forced upon them. Solomon forced the Israelites to work in what was called the corvée, which was basically the state of enforcement of slave labor upon citizens. Citizens would be required to give up a few months of each year to work on building projects in the kingdom, and they were very tired of their task. When the people came to Rehoboam asking to lighten their burden, his reply to the people in 1 Kings 12:10 was, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist, meaning that he would inflict even more burden upon the people than Solomon did. Solomon and the people of Israel spent so much time on building projects and other areas of strengthening the Israelite kingdom, they forgot to spend time with God. Listen, friend, listen. If you've got everything you need and you are living in the lap of luxury, there is a possibility that you don't have time to spend time with God. No time to seek the Lord. Listen, Solomon desired to see the kingdom grow so fast that he forgot to wait on God's timing. He instead forced growth. He did so through human effort. And Rehoboam had a chance to bring the people back into a real relationship with the Lord, but instead, he was going to commit even more sin than his father had. And we read here where Rehoboam ascended to the throne of Judah, which was the southern kingdom in a now divided Israel. Rehoboam did not have a great start. Verse 1 tells us Rehoboam did three things. He established the kingdom, strengthened himself, and forsook the law of the Lord, and all Israel with him. Someone has said it well. I believe it was Leonard Ravenhill in his book, Why Revival Tarries. And he said, as go the shepherds, so go the sheep. As go the pulpit, so go the pew. It is Christian leadership in compromise that has allowed the devil to do what he's doing and promotes and contributes to the great falling away. Concerning apostasy, someone has said, and they knew this person well, and I'm not going into names and details. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to check me out by the Word of God, and you should check everyone else out by the Word of God. Listen, friend, this is a day that deception has come, and it's come as Jesus said when asked, what shall be the sign of thy coming? When shall these things be? One of the things he said is many false prophets will go out into the earth, and they shall deceive many. Listen, and because iniquity shall abound, sinfulness, lawlessness, not concerning ourselves with obeying the Word of God as it is written. I'm not just talking about the Old Covenant. I'm talking about the words of Jesus Christ in the New Covenant. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. I'm talking about James and John. I'm talking about Titus and Jude. Listen, I'm talking about 1st and 2nd Peter. I'm talking about the book of Acts and the Gospels. Dear friend of mine, we're not teaching like we should be teaching the absolute authority and inerrancy and eternal essence of the Word of the living God. So many people today are veering, following leaders who are not leading them back to the old pathway, but leading them to veer from the old pathway. I'm not talking about going back under the law. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What kind of church are you in today? What kind of leader are you following today? Are you following what is trending within Christian? I'm not talking about necessarily trending in all of the world. I'm talking about what's trending in the church world today. The attitude of complacency, the attitude of compromise, the attitude of making concessions to the culture, instead of standing true to God. Amen. There's a place where inclusion must stop. There's a place where just trying to embrace everything in the name of loving people has to stop. You don't love someone if you tell them they're okay when you know the wrath of God is abiding upon them. That's not how love works. It is not permissive. Truth is the only thing that can set those captive to this error that we're seeing today free from. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, the scripture says. Hallelujah. And the truth will make you free, and I might add, it will keep you free. Amen. Apostasy. Apostasy. An example, there are pastors, and in very well-known, and in particular, a very well-known Bible church, one that taught the Word of God at one time. But today, he's a denier of the deity of Jesus Christ. He's a professor at a university, one who does everything he can to turn young people away from Christianity. He also falls into the category, therefore, of an apostate, someone who knows the truth, has all the information about the truth, and willfully turns his back on the truth. Listen, friend, the false church of the last days will be an apostate church. I'm going to read what I quoted to you, 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as a hot iron. We're warned about the deception and apostasy which precedes the revelation of the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Listen, Rehoboam forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. The New Testament puts it this way, if the blind follow the blind, everyone ends up in that same ditch of deception and destruction together. they all fall off. They march right off the precipice and fall to destruction. We can't keep blindly following so-called Christian leadership that are not clearly following and delineating the Word of God to us. Even at the cost of the building fund, or the cost of the number count, the cost of all the things that symbolize success, there is no preacher that is successful because of the number of people following him or her and buying their tapes today. No prophet, so-called. Amen. Listen, friend, we have seen the prophets' prophecies fail. When do we wake up and call them false prophets? We have seen the error of those who are taking the Word of God and using it deceitfully, and yet we don't open the Word and pray for the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, to come and guide us into truth. We're supposed to judge angels if they show up as bright, brilliant, holy-looking beings. Even no marvel if Satan himself be transformed into an angel of light and his ministers, ministers of righteousness. But if he brings a message contrary to that has been delivered, and that truth called the faith that is established upon the prophets and the apostles, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, let him be anathema. This is the strongest condemnation of God. It's an actual curse of God. Let him be accursed. Why? Why? Because if he is able to lead people to believe they're saved when they're not, they're the people that are going, and this has got to be in the Christian. This can't be in all of the cults and the world religions around the world. This has got to be in the Christian faith, because they acknowledge and they call Christ Lord. Some will say to him in that day, Lord, Lord, we've done mighty works in your name. They claim to know him. They claim that he is their master. But he says unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. You see, the foundation of God is based on God knowing us, acknowledging us as his, because we've truly repented of our sin and received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, I'm going to say something controversial. Well, it's nothing new, but I want to make it very clear today. I do not believe, biblically, spiritually, or otherwise, that you can be saved just by saying a few words, getting your free ticket to heaven without repentance. It's not God's will, the Scriptures teach, that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Repentance isn't a work to earn salvation. It's a change of mind and a change of heart. Praise God. It's coming back to God with the full assurance that through the shed blood of Jesus we'll be reconciled to him. And he said, I'll return to you. And we need a mighty revival of returning to God. We need Christian leaders today that will quit compromising, that will stand and declare God's truth without fear and without apology, that will fear God more than we fear men. And we will trust God for the result of it. Dear friend of mine, I'm not making excuses for small congregations and saying we shouldn't have an ambition, a holy ambition, to grow. But we should grow with true converts to follow Jesus Christ, to make disciples, not just get, assets to help us with our building fund, to have people truly accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and thereby be able to call him Lord and have him say, that's right, I am your Lord, and you are my child, my servant. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, we turn away from the Lord, we suffer the consequences. But if we return to the Lord, we are promised He will return to us. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I just want to get up real close to the Lord today. I want to hide under the covert of His wings. I want to be able to claim Psalm 91 in my life for all the things that we are facing in our world today. Because Thou hast made the Lord Thy God Thy habitation. Hallelujah. And under His wings Thou art come to trust. Thou shalt not fear of the arrow that flieth by day, the pestilence that waste at noonday, nor the plague. Listen, for it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. Friend, if I do the math right, that's 11,000 down and one standing. 11,000 down and one is standing. Who is standing? Someone who has made the Lord God, not who we run to only in a crisis, but the one that we make our dwelling place. If you back up to Psalm 90 in verse 1, it says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations. And as long as they kept Him as their king and bowed to no other and followed no one that would pull them away from Him, no prophet, no king, no leader, no leader but Jehovah, no Lord but Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, our time is gone. Praise God. But I am committed to standing true to God in these last days with the time I have left. Are you committed to follow Christ? Are you really? Listen, you're going to be tested. There are going to be false leaders try to pull you away. Don't follow them. Follow Him. Let every man, let God be true, and every man be the liar. Listen, friend, and if an angel bring you another, listen, if you're to judge the angel's message by the truth that was once delivered, and he veers from it to pull you away from God, you're to reject that prophet, you're to reject a celestial-looking being, and you've got to know the truth to be able to tell the difference. Get in the Word of God. Get in a church that preaches the Word of God. Demand that the person you allow to influence you tells you the whole truth and nothing but the truth when they bring a message from God's Word. Praise God. And God will keep you safe. He'll keep you safe from the false prophets, the false teachers. Don't look for the easy way. Don't look for the easy, broad way. Look for the straight gate and the narrow way that leads to life eternal. Jesus is coming soon. Let's get ready for His coming in Jesus' name. Dear friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I pray that right now, as God speaks to your heart, and I believe He is, if you've stayed tuned this long, He must have held you here. If you've stayed tuned this long, yeah, there's compromise in the Christian faith. The falling away has begun. Yes, there are false teachers and false prophets. Don't let that cause you to not see the true reason for the Christian faith, and that's Jesus Christ. The Father who loved you and I enough to give His only begotten Son to die on a cross in our behalf so that we could repent of our sin, receive Him as our Lord and Savior, be saved, and be sealed by the Holy Spirit, and be safe from the wrath to come. The coming of Christ could be at any moment, and not do an injustice to any prophetic scripture. There's nothing holding Him back except the timing of God when the Father says, go get your bride. It might be midnight. We got to be ready. Our lamps filled with oil to light them up and go out to meet Him when the cry comes. A friend of mine, if you don't know Him today, you won't be ready. And you will be here to experience the wrath of God. And if you come to Christ, some will. It will cost you your life just by being a Christian. If you take the mark, and friend of mine, if the pressure, if just peer pressure is keeping you from Christ now, what are you going to do when you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't eat, you can't feed your family? Dear friend of mine, come to Jesus now. He will save you. He will seal you. He will keep you safe from the wrath to come. Run to Jesus. In Jesus' name.